Hello and welcome back to another episode of The Artist's Journey with Julia Hagen. I'm so happy you are here. It feels like a week that I really need a podcast episode, if you know what I mean. Like, I really needed to sit down and just like with my thoughts and talk. This sort of become like a ritual now for me. Usually I'm recording on like Wednesdays or Thursdays most weeks, so it's like halfway through the week or a little over halfway, and it's just like a good check-in point. It feels very therapeutic, and hopefully it feels that way for you too. At the end of the week, like, okay, let's end the week right. But this week I am really busy. I am preparing for two upcoming events that I'm really excited about that I'll just, you know, shamelessly promote for a second here, because that's what we need to do as artists, is promote ourselves. I'm going to be a resident artist at the Pendry Hotel in Chicago on the 16th, from the 16th through the 18th of February. And so I will be there working in the billiards room, which is kind of like right adjacent to the lobby there. And I'll have my work up on display. And yeah, you can come and see me painting and working live. And then on Sunday, there'll be a small event of like revealing the final painting that I created and all my other work up on display. That's like a small event. You can pop in if you want. And then on the following weekend, the event I'm probably most excited about is I have a solo show at the Theater on the Lake, which, if you're not from Chicago or not familiar with it, it is this beautiful space that is right on the lake, right off Michigan Avenue, and it's a really beautiful spot. And what's really awesome that I'm excited about is that it's not just like, oh, come look at my art and that's it. There's going to be two bands performing. This opportunity came about actually because my high school history teacher is in a band, and he's followed me like since I graduated. And he actually was one of the teachers that wrote me a letter of recommendation for college, which was really sweet. And his daughter was my age, and she was the president of the class, and I was the vice president. So it's kind of funny. We just have a lot of like ties. And he wanted to know if I wanted to show my art while they're, you know, showcasing, you know, they're also performing. And so, yeah, it's gonna be great. It's gonna be like a concert art combo, and I think it'll be really amazing, and it's just, yeah, gonna be really fun. So if you are in Chicago and around on February 25th, please come and say hello. The information was on my Instagram, on my website, and I'm really excited. So yeah, starts at 4, doors are at 4, it'll go till 7:30, however long the bands go. And yeah, so I think it's a great kind of like early evening Sunday activity. You can go out to dinner after or go home and, you know, still be in bed by a reasonable hour on a Sunday, a school night, work night, whatever. So yeah, I'm really excited. And that all being said, so I'm preparing for those events, both with my work, getting, you know, just a bunch of like logistical things sorted out in terms of like the stuff I need to display my work and, you know, business cards, yada, yada. But it's interesting too, because as I'm preparing for these festivals, oh my gosh, the reason I said festivals is because I was going to talk about how this feels similar to the art festivals that I'd go to, except it's a little different. So I used to do a lot of art festivals. Like every summer I would do like, you know, 4 to 5 festivals, which is not that money if you are like a diehard like festival going artist. Like some artists are at like 3 festivals a week, and it's like insane. I have no idea how they're doing it, but it's like their full-time thing. It's like going from festival to festival to festival, like around the country, which is crazy. I mean, what a lifestyle. Could never do it, because just these two events alone, I'm like, oh my God, I'm already so exhausted. But in a way, I kind of would prefer like banging them out like 2 weekends in a row and then being like, all right, like did it, now I can rest. Like I know I kind of have like a dry run at the residency, and then I have like the bigger events like the following weekend, so I'll be like primed and ready, and anything that didn't go well at the Pendry, hopefully I will be able to fix in time for the solo show. So I'm kind of using the two opportunities like in that way of like preparing myself, both like mentally, emotionally, and like actually preparing the work. So I did want to talk today a lot about expectations. And as an artist, I think this is something I'm constantly butting up against. I mean, every time I paint something, I create something, I have an expectation of what it's going to be, right? It's like you go to the, you know, I'm assuming you're a painter here or a visual artist, like you go to the easel, to the pottery wheel, whatever, and you have an idea in mind of what you're going to create, and you have a vision. And I think there's a quote out there, and I can't remember what it is, but it's like the difference between the time or the struggle between what image and idea exists in your mind and what you end up creating is like an artist's like ultimate like strife, kind of. It's like the thing we're like chasing. We're just trying to get those two things to align, and it's like addicting whenever it does work out and it's like as good or better than what you wanted. And then, you know, it's kind of like a constant thing that we're butting up against. It's like the vision in our heads and the thing we want to create. And sometimes it's exciting. Other times it can be really upsetting if you feel like you're not able to hit the mark, or you don't feel like your style is where it needs to be. And it can be really heartbreaking because as an artist, like, we're putting ourselves out there, we're trying something new, you know, you have this idea, and like making it come to fruition sometimes can just be so, it feels like you feel like you're failing yourself, which sounds dramatic, but I think any artist will understand, like, if there's a project that you're really excited about, it, you know, you do it and it just doesn't turn out as you hoped, it can be really, really heartbreaking. And those highs and lows are then also mirrored, of course, in like the financial and business side of art as well. Like, ultimately, we are in a I hate to boil it down to this, but like, we are in a product based business, like a sales position. Okay, so like, we're selling ourselves, we're selling our work. And like any sales jobs, there is rejection, there are no's, there are high hopes and then nothing happening. There are people with, you know, empty promises and saying they want something and then doesn't go through, all of that. And paired with something that is, can be so emotionally charged and significant to us, those two things together, I think, can be like highly combustible or something. Like, they just feel, it feels like a ticking time bomb sometimes for our mental health, right? It's like, let's have something that you care so deeply about, okay? And you already are struggling with getting it to where you want, right? And it's subjective, so there's no like right or wrong. And then let's also tag on there other people's opinions and the uncertainty of doing this. And you have to wonder why the hell any of us do this. But I don't know. So anyway, that is something that is the constant struggle. Like, that is the battle for me. That is the day-to-day fight of being a full-time artist. That is what this show, I think, is about in a lot of ways, is just the essence of this. It's like the struggle to stay optimistic, to stay hopeful, to stay creative among the muck, right? Because I really do think, I don't even like calling it the muck, it's just like the realities, I guess, of it, the kind of hard, cold facts of it all. And those two things can just like weigh each other down like so heavily. And I can really, really get down when either of those ideas like get too big. Like, if my dreamer mind and my like creative mind gets too out there, and like, and then it can sometimes come crashing down when like I then realize like, oh, that doesn't logistically work. Or if I'm getting too practical and too concerned, it like paralyzes me from like taking risk and trying things. So it is a balance. I talked about that in a previous episode of feeling like it just always is a balancing act. But managing expectations is like what I have to do all day long with myself, is what I have to do. And it gets really hard, but these are some things that I think have really helped me. So I, like I said, I'm familiar with doing art festivals. And prior to doing the festivals, I would see other artists at these festivals, and I would just assume that they were like selling out and like they are having like absolutely amazing shows. Like, I don't know why, it just never occurred to me that like, oh yeah, an artist could go to these things and like not, you know, sell a single thing. And like, how would that feel? I can tell you how it feels. It feels pretty terrible, because that happened to me many times. And so I went in with the expectation of like, I will sell something. And I think that's a bad expectation to have, but it's completely out of my control, right? Like I have no control over if somebody's going to pass by my tent at an art festival and decide they want to buy it. Like, all I can do is be, you know, put on my sales hat, bring my best work, you know, be personable, like do what I can to like help facilitate the sale. But at the end of the day, it is up to them. Like I do not have their credit card. Only they do. So that is something that I had to like quickly adjust, was like, all right, I have no control over if I sell a single painting or print, anything at this show, this festival. What do I have control over? What can I expect out of this show? And I really had to boil it down to, I can expect that somebody will see my art. I can expect that there will be somebody who sees my art. At these art festivals, I was like, bare minimum, if no one shows up, the other artists there will have seen my work. And that's it. And that sounds kind of like bleak or whatever, but I really felt like if I just reduced it, and not that I wasn't still hopeful, like it's really tough because like I'm not crushing my hopes, but like, you know, we're creatives, okay? Our expectations and our wildest dreams can get away from us. And so I sometimes just have to boil it down to like what I know will for sure happen and really, really deeply connect to that in like gratitude towards that. Not just like I guess that's the bare minimum, and then secretly in your mind you still are like, but I still really hope I sell everything, and that it's like, you know, I'm set, like if I only meet the bare minimum, it's not gonna be good enough. No, I want you to like fully think about like, well, someone's gonna see my work in person. That doesn't happen every day. That does not. I spend every day by myself in my studio, and don't get me wrong, I love that. I love this little hermit, comfy, cozy lifestyle I have created for myself that is like me and my art and my solitude and my peace, love. But so, therefore, people aren't seeing my work in person every day. People aren't seeing me in person every day. And so this is a unique opportunity. Like this is a unique thing. This is not the norm. And so that is something I have to like get myself psyched for. It's like, oh my gosh, like someone's gonna come over. Like it's like almost like my friends are coming over. They're gonna come see my work, you know? And that's kind of how I've had to adjust my expectations, is, you know, people see my work online every day. Like that is not unique. Like people can find it there. I look at having my work in a show as a unique encounter, me physically being there, able to talk to them. And it's not so much just me putting like pressure on this experience has to be like super unique and amazing and they have to love it. It's crazy. It's just, no, it's different than the norm. And that's exciting. And I'm grateful for that opportunity that I don't get every day. This has really helped me transform the highs and lows that I experience when I post something on the internet or I have a show and it doesn't sell. Because that happens more times than not. Every time I post something and put on my website and like promote a launch of some sort, I will still sometimes find that I have this expectation in the back of my mind that it's gonna sell out in like 5 minutes. And also it's detrimental in a lot of ways because I will like build up the hype so much for myself. But and have the expectations and the goal be something I can't control. And I don't know, I'm really, really working with that. I'm not perfect at it. I think the areas that I struggle the most with it are, you know, sales, right? It's money, it's stressful, it's logistics. Like I want to make money. Also, something else that I've had to really wrap my head around is that I've noticed a pattern for myself and my business that this time of year is always tighter for me. This time of year is always like less sales because it's after the holidays, like people are trying to be good about their spending again. I think it's just January and February are always slow months for me, and sometimes that reaches into March, but I've really started to like expect that like I'm gonna have to like have a little bit of a cushion created for myself for these 2 months to get through and come up with like a very realistic game plan, because I've seen it now for the past 4 years that I've been doing this. It's like, okay, like this seems like it's almost every year. It's a pattern. Like I'm not gonna live in La La Land to pretend that this January is gonna be somehow magically different. If it is, amazing, but I've yet to see so. So I've had to really look closely at like patterns in my business and set my expectations accordingly. And then the same thing for like months that I expect things to be good. I'm like, historically, things have been good in this month, historically, okay? But I also then look closely at like, well, what was I doing in this month, like the past several years? Like what kind of work was I creating, or like how many pieces, whatever, what was I launching, yada, yada. And I will look at that too. And I will see like what did well. Not that I necessarily am like catering 100% to that, but it just is helpful for me to see like, okay, like this worked, this worked, this was good. And all I can do is kind of like treat it like target practice and keep coming back and, you know, throwing stuff at the wall, seeing what sticks, getting closer and closer to like hitting the mark each time, and knowing that like, all I can do is practice my throw, right? All I can do is practice getting it closer and closer to the mark. Other than that, like it's up to my customers. It's up to the people who are perceiving my work. And that is something that I'll always have to reckon with, right? Like I'm definitely a people pleaser. Like I'm probably the definition of a people pleaser, okay? I care really, really deeply what people think of me. And it can be one of the most difficult things for me to navigate as a creative, because I will find myself trying to create work to hit the mark, but it's somebody else's mark. It's somebody else's standard. It's what I think somebody else will like. And it's not necessarily for me. And I really do like finding the place between what my audience likes and what I'm into, right? Like, obviously, that's the dream. You want those two things to overlap. But if you are constantly looking for what your audience wants, how are you supposed to get yourself on board with that too, right? Like, if you are so concerned with what the audience wants and, like, stressing and freaking out about the sales, and you're going to end up creating work that you are making from a place of anxiety, from a place of wanting to please people. And I personally am convinced that it comes through. And I'm not saying you can't make good work in that space, but I don't think it's sustainable. And I don't think it's as fulfilling as trying to slowly but surely like merge those two things together. I've been losing a lot of followers. I've been losing followers for the past year daily, okay? I have had like maybe a couple days where I've had followers that I've gained, quickly then lost, you know, the next day. But what I've been realizing is over this past year, I feel like I really have been honing like what it is exactly that I do create. And I think I've been noticing I'm getting more and more followers that are people who are more engaged, more interested in like what I'm doing, who the work I'm creating like speaks to them, and then the people that it doesn't speak to are falling off. And that is the, I think that is what I'm talking about here. It's the merging and finding of your people while having to let certain things go. And it's a painful process. And I don't think it's ever done. I don't think that work is ever complete. But I think it's a really, really worthy thing to do, just like slowly but surely having your expectations of your work and your skill and ability meet. It's like, where can you figure out like what your needs, your hopes, your dreams, and your audiences and their needs can meet in a like healthy, reciprocal way that's not just also so dependent on their approval, right? And I don't have like the answer. I'm working on it, but I'm gonna let you guys know. And I just think that I'm really excited for people to see my work in person. I'm excited to have this opportunity. Like I said, my work currently just exists in my space. I get to look at it in person every day. And maybe you've seen it online, but I do think it's very different to see paintings and artwork in real life. And I would so appreciate it if you came to my show on the 25th. Please come if you're in Chicago. I would so, so appreciate you being there. And it's going to be a really, really fun event. So I hope I see you on the 25th. And before then, keep listening to the podcast, and I'll talk to you guys next week.